Rosie TV.
Your friends are worried about you. You know they are. They're praying for you. They think you've been captured by a cult. You now have these weird beliefs. You're out of the mainstream. You're off the reservation. Hell, you were never even on the reservation. And so they are concerned that you no longer have accountability. You left the organized religion. You no longer have that accountability. And everybody knows that when you're outside of the mainstream, you're unprotected. Like, you're liable to be attacked by, you know, the actual Jesus Christ, the actual Son of God. And they'll tell you, you need an accountability partner, someone to watch your every move. Who are you accountable to out there in the wilderness? You've left the organized assembly. Who are you accountable to? Jesus Christ is my head. No, like a human being, who are you accountable to? Now, Jesus Christ being your head is not good enough for these people. In fact, my own son, Paul, my youngest son, who joined the Christian religion, he recently told me he's praying for me to, quote, wake up. Wants me to wake up. I'm going to get into what I believe that means. Now, he loves me. And your friends love you. At least they say they love you. My son, Paul, does love me. And he literally fears for my eternal life. That's the thing with these Christians. They think that if you believe in the wrong way now, then your eternal life is at stake. And it's a wonder more of them aren't coming after you, pursuing you, trying to get you back on the good side. It makes you wonder how much they really do care about you. They should be after you night and day. Whereas we know that, of course, it's important, but it's only a matter of aeonian life. I mean, that's important enough, not belittling it, but compared to missing out on eternal life, I mean, the eons are a speck in God's eternity. So we don't want anybody to miss out on aeonian life, and yet many, many, many will, but they will live for eternity with God. So the motivation, I think, is love. And yet something else tells me, not speaking of my son Paul now, but it could be that they're looking for a feather in their cap. They want to be able to report back to your old church or to your other family members that they rescued you. They finally talked sense into you. You've come out from crazy town, these crazy beliefs you have, and now you're back in the safety zone. Safety zone. Believing in eternal torment and free will and the Trinity, the inability of God to control his universe, the failure of his son to save the human race, that's the safety zone. I'm going to get into that a little later. The safety zone. I mean, you might have read this in the beginning of my book, Martin Sender Goes to Hell. I remember when I was still a Christian, so this must have been 81. Somewhere between 79 and 81, I called my mom. I had left the Catholic Church, and I bought a Bible, New American Standard Bible, in 1979. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I bought a cross, little silver crucifix, and I wore it to my breakfast job. I was cooking at Friendly Restaurant. I was a breakfast cook, and I wore my little gold cross. It was a silver cross, yeah. Of course it was fake. Everything was fake. The Jesus on the cross was fake. I didn't know that at the time, but I wanted people to know. And when I go back there, I can feel that sense of superiority, that I'm into something good and everybody needs to find what I found. And I was reading my Bible for the first time. Well, I had a Bible for the first time. Went to the Christian bookstore at Millette Mall in Canton, Ohio, and bought a New American Standard soft cover Bible with a dictionary in the back, and I read the whole thing, and boy, was I proud of myself then. Dan Sheridan would have been proud of me. I read the whole Bible, and then I read it again, and sometime along the road, I read it a third time, but I had left the Catholic Church even before I became a Christian. Must have been 78. No, must have been 79 after I got out of high school. See, my whole family went to Catholic Church, but we were only a one day a week Christian family, which was fantastic. God really did pick my parents well. My parents were not hardcore Catholics. We went one day a week, and the rest of the week we were a fun family. We watched Dark Shadows. I was the only kid on the neighborhood who was allowed to watch Dark Shadows, the soap opera, the horror soap opera, horror for 1968 or 9, whenever that came out. The other kids would sneak over to my house in order to watch Dark Shadows. So, yeah, we watched Love. We could once in a while stay up and watch Love American Style. So just a good all-American family, fun family. But then my dad left after we had grown up. My dad left the Catholic Church. Then my sister left, and it was just me and my mom. That's my family, my sister Kelly, my mom, and my dad. It was just me and my mom. And I felt like I'm sticking with her. I'm sticking with this. And then it finally got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore, so I quit. And there's poor mom, just the last one. You know, Martha stands alone. Poor woman, the last one to keep going to church. But after I became a Christian, I became zealous then. I thought I had to save people. And I remember calling my mom on the phone. Why I called her, I don't know where I was. I must have been on a trip or something. And I felt this conviction to warn her about eternal torment. So I called her. And I said, you know, the Catholic religion is just a religion of rote exercises. There's no sincerity or heart behind it, which is all true. It doesn't count for salvation. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, yeah, can you imagine? It was a day when I did that. And my mom was very patient, very kind. And she just said, well, thank you for the call. I said, okay. I thought to myself, this isn't going well. And we disengaged from the call. And we never talked about it again, except 3 years later when I apologized. I said, Mom, you remember when I called you about accepting Jesus or going to hell? Yeah, I remember that. I apologize. I'm sorry. I was all wrong. There's no such thing as eternal torment. It's a false teaching. It's not a scriptural teaching at all. The irony is she believed, as a Catholic, she believes in it, or she's supposed to believe in it. That's the irony here, is that I was trying to convince her of a doctrine that is, certainly I learned it from the Catholic Church. But of course, their standards for not going to hell are different than God's standards for aeonian life. They had to go to Mass and not commit these mortal sins and whatever else is required of them. And I guess she felt comfortable that she was doing the Catholic thing. But I knew it was just a rote operation, saying her rosary. And I knew that it was worthless, absolutely worthless. I knew that believing in Jesus Christ was the key. And most Christians know that all Catholics are lost. What the Christians don't know is that they're lost too. They're just, it's so interesting how God has done that. He makes Protestant Christianity feel safe, only in comparison to the clown religion, which is Catholicism. They think they're safe because, well, we're not Catholics, so we're good, right? No, you're not good. You're not good. So my son is praying for me to wake up. I just wonder how that prayer goes. I wonder what that prayer sounds like. I really don't want to use my son and me as an example, so I'm going to pick somebody out of my audience. Let's see, who do I want to use for this example? How about Rob Weil? Rob Weil's a good one. Rob, I'm sure you won't mind. Now, I don't know if there are people praying for Rob's soul, praying for Rob to wake up out of his crazy beliefs, but let's say, this is just hypothetical, let's say that Rob has an aunt. Aunt Inna. Well, you never heard the name Inna? In a while. Rob's aunt Inna married Uncle Binna. Been a while. Rob Weil's aunt and uncle, and they're praying for their poor nephew. especially Aunt Inna. She has a burdened soul
for Robbie, because, Lord, Robbie, please help our nephew, Robbie. We don't know what happened to him. Lord, he thinks Jesus Christ was a successful savior. Actually, he thinks Jesus Christ saved everybody at the cross. Lord, we don't know where he got this crazy idea, but we know you're mostly a fail to reach the human race. We know that hardly anybody's saved. You tried to save people, but Robbie thinks you actually did it. Lord, please wake him up. Wake him up to your failure, Lord. Let him know what a colossal failure you actually are. You're not that good at saving people. Lord, Robbie thinks that your will, Lord, is greater than the human will. We know that you will all humanity to be saved. We know that you will all humanity to be saved. Robbie knows that, Lord, but what if people don't want to be saved? What if the human will comes up against the divine will? We know that your will loses, Lord. You're not going to get everything you want. Robbie thinks you are. We don't know what happened to him, Lord. We know you're not going to get everything you want. It's terrible. But that's the safest belief, that most of humanity is going to be burned in hell. We know you'd like to save him, but you can't. You can't. Robbie thinks you can. We don't know where he got this idea. But please, we pray for our little nephew, Robbie. He thinks Jesus Christ is greater than Adam. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Adam got the whole race into sin and death. He thinks Jesus Christ brought everybody out. But we know that Adam's greater than Jesus. Sorry, Lord. Lord, we're so sorry about this. Please wake him up. Please wake up Robbie. Please let Robbie take his sins more seriously. He thinks that God looks at him and thinks he's righteous because of the blood of the cross. Robbie's not worried about anything. Robbie's too cool. Too freaking cool. Lord, I'm sorry I used the word freaking, but it calls for it. Robbie calls for it. Help Robbie wake up and take his sins more seriously. He ought to be worried every day. He ought to be repenting hundreds of times a day like Johnny Green, Lord. Help Robbie be more like Johnny Green, who holds the world repentance record. We all know Johnny Green once repented 527 times in one day, Lord. It's a record. It's a record in modern times. Johnny Green's extremely worried about his sins. Help Robbie wake up to the worry. And Lord, you're judging us every day, watching over us more than Santa Claus, checking a list, making a list. First you make it, then you check it. Then you check it once, then you check it twice. You're going to find out that Robbie's been naughty, not nice, because he actually no longer has any hand-wringing regret. Lord, you see me and my husband, Benna. Been a while. We wring our hands every day, worried about our failures. It's the hand-wringing of regret. Lord, we haven't seen Robbie wring his hands in so long. He has this peace about him that's stupid. Some peace is stupid, Lord, when it's ignorant. Our poor Robbie just lost his mind. Lord, I bring this to you, to your altar. Robbie thanks the universe. Listen to this, Lord. I hope you're sitting down, Jesus. Robbie thinks the universe has a happy ending because of the blood of the cross. And I know. All darkness banished, all misery gone. Because of the blood of the cross, everything's gonna end up in God. By what? By some miracle? Some miracle's gonna happen to make everybody live happily ever after. What are you telling me, Lord? What are you doing with Robbie? We know the blood of Christ, not death. It was all right, Lord, but not that good. Wasn't that good. Robbie's quoting the Bible all the time. All the time, especially Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. That's where he gets his crazy idea that the universe has a happy ending. Lord, that's where he gets it. If it's only one verse, Lord, there's got to be other verses. I mean, the one you can't count on one verse, can you? I got to wring my hands over this one. I don't know. Oh, he thinks you're in control of everything, like you're running the universe exactly like you want things to happen. Lord, we know that can't be right because everybody has a human free will. Because every human has a free will, and you're running around trying to correct all these people, trying to corral them. That's what makes you God, because you're weak. That's what makes you God. You run around so fast trying to fix everything that goes wrong in your universe, Lord. It's an amazing trick how you keep up with all the failure. All the failure, it's amazing. Please wake up, Robbie. Robbie thinks you're responsible. He thinks you're in control, and he thinks you're responsible for everything. Everything that happens, please help Robbie see that you're out of control and irresponsible, Lord, because if Robbie believes you're in control and Robbie is wrong about so many things because he joined this cult, then you must be out of control. Everybody knows out of control is the opposite of in control. Responsible. Everybody knows the opposite of responsible is irresponsible. Ben and I, we glorify you every day, Lord, for your irresponsibility for things and everything, basically. You're not responsible for anything, Lord. Nothing's your fault. Don't worry. Don't wring your hands. You're irresponsible. Don't let that discourage you. Now, one more thing, Lord. Robbie actually thinks that your son died. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing, God. Robbie actually believes that his son Jesus Christ died on the cross. I don't know where he got this idea, maybe from some weirdo, some cult leader named Martin Zender. I don't know where it came from. He actually thinks Jesus Christ died. But Jesus, you're Jesus Christ, right? God, you're Jesus Christ. You can't die. So there's no way that your son died. It's impossible. Robbie keeps saying that the gospel centers around the death of your son. I don't know where he got these ideas, but Lord, please help. Please help our little nephew, Robbie, to see the truth. Robbie's too free. He's too happy. Thinks he doesn't have to contribute to his salvation. Thinks you did it all. What's that, Lord? Nah, I know you didn't mean to say that, Lord. There must be some interference in the line. It sounded like you said you did do it all, but I know you didn't, Lord. Lord, I have to go now, Lord, because Ben is calling me. Been a while. Needs me in. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Please wake our little boy up. Please wake up our little nephew. Amen.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And people like Inna and Benna Weil and many, many others, I've heard this, they think that their teaching is safe. I think that we're out there on the outer edges. Their teaching is safe. They think we're in big trouble. Big trouble for what? Big trouble for overestimating the success of Christ? Big trouble for thinking that God is responsible and is in control of his universe? Big trouble for crediting Christ with a successful enterprise at the cross, coming to save all humanity, to take away the sin of the world, and we believe he actually did it? Is that what we're going to have to apologize for at the great white throne? We're sorry, Jesus. We thought it was much better than it was. Than it has turned out to be. We thought that Jesus Christ was actually a successful Savior. We thought he did come to take away the sin of the world. We thought he did it. We were sure, based on certain scripture verses, like Romans 5, 18 and 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, that your son Jesus Christ has to be greater than Adam. Adam brought the whole race into condemnation and death, and your son came to take the whole race out. So we taught that he did it. And you sure have some verses in there that you can't really blame us. I mean, as an Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. I mean, you can't blame us too much for preaching that. Don't see how we could have read it any other way, Lord. So our opposers, those who are praying for us to wake up, they think their doctrine is safe. I would rather have to say what I just said. Sorry, thought you were better. Sorry, thought you were stronger. Sorry, thought you were more gracious, more loving than you turned out to be. I actually thought you would look for the lost sheep since you said you were going to. Didn't know you were going to burn hundreds of billions of sheep in an eternal fire. Sorry, didn't know that. You told us to love our enemies. I just assumed you would do the same. Sorry. Okay, fine. I'll say that. But these people think that it's safe to stand before God at the great white throne. I didn't think it was that good. I just couldn't see how you could possibly be in control. I didn't see how your will could outperform the human will. I thought you had lost control of the whole race. Is that bad? Is it bad? I didn't realize your son actually died. Was that wrong to mess that up? Like, I know the scripture said he died, but we were trying to do you a favor, trying to do Jesus a favor and make him God so that he wouldn't die. The scripture said he died. Is that bad that we messed that up? We thought you would understand that we're playing it safe by imagining that you're a failure. Your plan to save the human race failed. We thought we would be safe with that teaching. We thought we'd be safe in believing that Satan was actually stronger than you. How can they believe this? How can they call that a safe doctrine? And yet they do. I think it's because of this. I'll end with this for the week. Is that they think that numbers is safety. That's it. They think that because they're surrounded by other people, they think mainstream has to be right because they look at you and they say, how can all these Christians be wrong? And you're right. You and your little group, you and your 5, 6, 7, 8 people over here, you guys are right. Really. And so they give away their whole mindset. And their mindset is mainstream has to be right. And that is so wrong. The scriptural precedent is infallibly this, that mainstream is always wrong. The mainstream is always wrong. It's the scattered remnant who get the truth. Those on the edges, outer edges of polite society. The dregs. The riffraff. The scum of all things. The off-scouring of the world. The unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. These are the ones who get the truth. And so there's a rude awakening coming for all these people who are ironically praying for you to wake up. They're praying for you to wake up. And yet we have embraced, by the grace of God, the highest revelations God has given to man. We know that there are two gospels, a gospel for Israel and a gospel for the nations. We know that there's a gospel for Israel that is a cooperative gospel. And we know of the gospel, the grace of God, where the blood of Christ has accomplished everything. We know of God's plan to reconcile the universe to himself through the blood of the cross. These are high, high revelations, and we have been given these great truths of our celestial destiny, of the value of the death of Christ in literally giving up his life for our sakes, the value of his faith. We understand that God is working through eons, through periods of time. So great that God has given us these truths. And yet we're the ones that have to wake up. We are so awake. And I exhort everyone, stay awake. And I know you will. Stay awake and stay watching, because this crazy show, this upside down world, is about to be turned right side up. And when that happens, the first will be last, and the last will be first.